Question and answer, question and answer. We are here for question and answer.
Yeah. Hope I have some answers to your questions.
Well, hopefully, yeah. If we don't, we just make it look good.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need it to be actual accurate. We're just going to go. Thank you, guys. Ian, Robin, Howie. Geez, we've got quite a few of them tonight. Matt and
Dirty Road Entertainment. Chris DeVale.
And Howie, if we mispronounced it, we apologize for that. But it's great to see you guys. Great to have you here. This is our question and answer segment for the show.
You can just like the video now. So I liked it. So there's four likes on it before we even say anything. There's a number five there. But send me likes when you get on this video before you guys even watch it.
Before it even goes live.
Yeah.
Nice. We are here. I'm going to get to our questions. So the way this works on Tuesday nights with our second segment is that there are questions sent in. You guys have sent these, messaged them in through Facebook. I've put those up in different spots, sometimes in the comment area. Basically, you got them to me because Brian doesn't want to see the questions beforehand. That's
no, it's more fun this way.
And Brent is with us. There we go. Ever After Entertainment. Nice to see you back with us. Thank you, Brent. Questions. We've got a few here. And then we're going to finish talking about DJ Expo at the end of it, because as we went off air, it's like, you know, we just kind of scratched the surface of a few things we wanted to talk about. So if you're tired of us talking DJ Expo, then you can jump out at the end. If you want to hear a couple of guys who've been around and seen a lot and such reflect.
Watch a different show. Because we're not guys.
Yeah, exactly. Go watch something else. Go watch something entertaining instead of us. But anyway, okay. So okay. The first question was actually kind of a build off of a question or something you were doing. You did a couple of years ago. Asking about make a microsystem now. You made one a couple of years ago. If you were going to make it today, what are some of the things what would you have in that microsystem that was different than what you did a couple of years ago?
You know, I'm in the process of, in my brain, putting another one together.
Can you give us a review of what you did to the first microsystem you did a video on? So that way they have a point of reference.
Here's the Reader's Digest. I needed to be able to handle something one-handed with a bad limp because of my stroke. So I built this little system I could handle. I got little 8-inch tops that had handles on top that I could put on a speaker pole. I got Frankenstands so they could go up in the air without me, you know, pushing them up in the air. I had to get self-winding cables because that's what I needed for my particular disposition. I had to have a mixer that I could handle one-handed. I tried to incorporate as many things as I could, kind of integrated into a system. All I had to do was plug one thing in, and like the wireless mic was on, the mixer was on, the computer was on, all of those things. I was trying to make a small system I could take out to car shows, but I built the thing so good, it turns out I could do weddings of 250 plus.
Nice.
And it has changed and evolved. I've done different speakers. I've done a lot of different lighting configurations. There are things that I look at now and I'm reevaluating the micro system. How can I make it easier?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I look at all the time. And right now, you know, I'm reviewing these things in my head because I want to build Microsystem 3.0. I want to do it again. And I want to make it real small and efficient and mean and nasty, but beautiful sound quality. And I think I would look at some of these two-way array systems.
Yep.
RCF has them. FBG's coming out with them. A lot of people have them. LD Systems has them. I think this might be one way to go. For me, the two-way arrays, I think, are cool. Although, all I need is a single sub, that little top is pretty cool. It's pretty nice. And maybe there's a way you can run them with only one sub and two tops. I don't know yet. I mean, I got to look into this. That would be something that would be kind of nice. It would eliminate the need. And I love Frankenstands, but they are pretty heavy.
If I could eliminate
Frankenstands, that would help me. If I could eliminate scrimming Frankenstands, that would help me a lot. The other thing I would look at, I think, is a lighter weight mixer. I'm using a DJM 850 right now. It's a beautiful club mixer. The sound quality is great on it. I don't use half the features on it, but it's got great ins and outs, and it fits in a case that I can manage. It would be nice to have a smaller mixer. I don't need a giant mixer. If I can find a two-channel, like MIDI mixer, mm-hmm. a good solid one with great ins and outs, good sound card inside of it, I'd be all over it. I think this might be the way forward. Remote lighting is always great. The lighting I'm using right now is super easy. I'm using InnoSpot LED Wi-Fi, so I plug them in, plug these moving heads in, and I don't have to connect them together. Use a little IC3 remote on there, and it just does things. Gee. Cool. I'm using the DotsPAR EXR Wi-Flies. Those are neat because they're super bright, they're battery powered, and they run off an RC remote. That's all I need. I need to fade to go sound active and to turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that. So lighting is easy. Lighting is the easiest part of your microsystem you're going to put together, especially with all of the battery powered stuff and the remote stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the audio stuff that I got to look at. And I think I can downsize. I'm rethinking things like tables, all kinds of stuff. It's just a process.
Yeah.
And it's not always, and this is the weird thing about a microsystem, people build these things for their particular needs.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be someone like John, for instance, who is a physically able person, but maybe he drives a Toyota Camry.
Yep.
And he needs to fit everything in that car. Maybe somebody like John, who has two arms and two legs that work just fine, has a bad back, so he can't lift anything over 30 pounds. There's somebody like me, where my cable bag is a lot heavier than my cable bag used to be, but I don't have to wind any of those cables anymore. Those cables are on their own self-winding spools, which are heavy, but I don't have to wind a cable. So there are just a lot of weird things that you've got to kind of think out for yourself when you build these systems.
Oh, for sure.
And a lot of people are doing them. They're doing them because of health reasons, or maybe they're doing it because they live in Manhattan, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't have a big vehicle. At best, they're throwing this stuff in a cab, and it happens.
Exactly. I was just going to say, there was a guy who came up at Expo, and he was saying he loved when we're talking about some of these small products, because he goes to gigs and such in a cab. It's got to all fit in the back seat of the cab.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. How do you do that? Do you bring a cart full of, and I didn't ask, I should have. Do you bring a cart full of gear down, and then you wave, and then you throw it in, cart in, and then you jump in the front
seat? You have to, because you can't leave your stuff sitting on the street. Here. So you got to have like a little rock and roller cart or something. It all fits on. It's all stuff you have to think out.
Yeah.
I've got this great new GTS microphone right now. I love it. I showed it in the last show.
Yeah.
I want to incorporate it into my micro system. The antennas on the damn thing are 2.5 feet tall.
And wow.
I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it without creating more steps for myself.
Yes.
So I've been staring at this thing for days. I mean, I have it. I'm looking at it. And sometimes I'll just, Blanca, like, what are you doing? I'm thinking. I'm trying to figure this out because there's got to be a way. And yeah, so it's all a process. And hopefully this fall, when things are slowing down a little bit, I can start building this thing. I'm building 3.0. I'm doing it, like starting completely over. I'm going to do it. I just got to pick my components. I got to pick my cases. I have to pick my cables. It's just today what would I do? I'd look at battery-powered lighting with easy remotes, things that set up quickly and efficiently, things that are hard to carry or hard to set up, things that you can make work in the least amount of steps possible. For me, mm-hmm. that's the big thing. If I have to plug five things in, that sucks. If I can condense that into plugging one thing in, that's amazing to me. So I don't know if that answered the question or not.
No, good. You talked about some things and about what they would be. So good.
Cool.
Somebody talked, and we're going to, because they're jumping on that. They're talking about Bluetooth. Ian wanted to know why as no one has made a Bluetooth transmitter that transmits to different Bluetooth receivers. Have you ever talked to anybody about the Bluetooth thing? I actually had a good conversation with an audio tech at Expo.
I'm learning about Bluetooth. Apparently, there are like three different levels of Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what, I'm not Ben Stowe. I can't do this. What I can tell you is that there's like a short range one, a medium range one, and a long range one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some type of Bluetooth that is that can talk to more than one other device at a time.
Yep.
I'm interested. And I'm not techy enough to engineer this stuff and figure out the right application. But yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
There should be Bluetooth stuff. We should have, and I know there are, I think Alto has it. And every expo or every show that I go to, I forget to look because I'm sure it's in the booth. Like some kind of speaker transmitter where it's two-channel speaker.
Yep, that was the Alto Stealth.
Yeah.
Yep, it was.
I'm very interested.
Yeah, they've got the Stealth, and then they have the one they've been talking about that's been in the tease mode for about 2 years now is the Stealth Pro.
Mm.
And there's companies actually that are out there taking orders on it, but it's not shipping yet. And they've been taking orders for a year and a half now.
These are the kind of things that I'd like to purchase.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
If you really wanted to step your game up, I mean, if a company wanted to do something amazing and sell tons of stuff, they would integrate this into their controller and their speakers. So you don't have to buy anything extra. It's integrated in.
Well, and that's where the technology is coming in. That the word that I had gotten from a person who is higher up in one of these controller companies was saying that Bluetooth is actually going the direction of the VHS tape.
Mm.
That there is a new technology that is right behind it. Granted, there's a lot of Bluetooth speakers out there and different things, but
right. For
what we do, Bluetooth never was a really great option because of all the potential interference and such.
Sure.
And they've got the Stealth that is about $400, but that's using, I think, 2.4 gigahertz.
Everything's 2.4 gigahertz. Yeah, that's the problem.
There's a problem. So they've got a new technology coming out. So I don't know if we're going to see. I would not be surprised if we get to NAM. I initially was thinking after 2016 NAM, next year we're going to see Bluetooth on everything.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Bluetooth on very little next year as they start to progress into it.
Right.
So we'll see, but I don't think we're going to see. There are companies that do make multi-transmitters to Bluetooth things. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. And really, if you wanted to do some of that, you can buy a Bluetooth transmitter and you could, I mean, jury rig it a little bit and make your own little four things. Because he mentioned having putting Bluetooth speakers around, the little Bose Bluetooth or Beats Bluetooth speakers around would be kind of cool. But
well, all you need is a transmitter receiver for those.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you could have, you know,
it's not like the old days when you were running power amplifiers and your XLR cable. Or a quarter inch or whatever you were running or speak on, not only was the signal, but the power for the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Passive. Now it's different. All you need is the signal. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in that technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interested. That would save me time. That would save me weight. That's the kind of stuff that maybe, I mean, even if the stuff's going away, maybe I should go ahead and look at that stuff.
For Oh, for sure. For sure. And again, when that Stealth from Alto, when that comes out and it's available, that's something that I've been asking and following up. There's some gear that I contact the manufacturer regularly, and that Stealth Pro is one of them because that.
Well, keep me updated. If you find something out before I do, keep me updated.
Yeah, because that's going to be, I think, once they have that technology down, because they're testing and revamping, and they've gone back to the factory to do some little tweaking because they want that to come out and have it so you're transmitting here and you're sending out that signal for 500 to 600 feet and you're not having audio drops and such at all.
Dude, I need 12.
Yeah.
Really? That's all I need for what I do. I need 12 feet. Give me 12 solid feet and I'm a happy guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's really what we need.
I'm trying to cross the football field here. I'm betting DJ, damn it.
Okay, let's grab our next question. Somebody was wondering what they should charge for a ceremony sound, and we'll kind of let's talk about that from the standpoint of how we price our ceremony sound.
Sure. Well, really, I mean, when I'm doing ceremony stuff, and this is just my personal experience with it and what I do, not only is it the sound that I'm providing with microphone, with speakers and all that stuff, but I'm also kind of like the music director where I am looking for cues as to when to play what song, when to fade it out, when to play the whatever they're doing in the middle of the ceremony, be it a candle, a ribbon, a foot washing, whatever, and then the exit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've got...
Do they do a lot of foot washing at your
weddings? No, I saw it one time, but I've heard other people talk about it slightly.
Especially during the Easter time, I have seen, but I think I've seen it
one time.
I think yeah. Maybe it was one time, or maybe it was something somebody talked about and it never happened.
See, I have a weird thing with feet anyway. Like, they creep me out. They're like hands, but not, I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. But anyway, so that's kind of a weird thing for me. I have a fear of hosiery. That's another show. But anyway, I do. Bare legs or pants, or just forget it. Don't put those on. It'll gross me out. I was doing it for between 250 and 300.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upping that because it's so much work and there's so much pressure to get it right. And there's a lot of things that I found that I have to purchase now to do what they want me to do.
Yeah.
I have to prep for to do what they want me to do. Wireless, battery powered. I did a video a while back. I built, with just what I had laying around here, I built a completely battery powered ceremony system with two speakers, a complete controller, a laptop, the whole bit. Was good for probably about 45 minutes. I was guessing. That wasn't the speakers. That was the limitations on the computer and the controller I had that was USB controlled.
Sure.
It's an investment, man. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking this should be upwards of $350. I know people who charge $5 for it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who charge $2,500 for it. It's Jim Cerrone. I mean, he mics up all these people. Like, he lapel mics everybody.
Yeah.
And he's charging huge money for ceremony. But I guess it depends on what you're delivering. But I wouldn't walk into it just as in, oh, it's only for a half hour. Walk into it as, this is a job that you got to do right. And exactly. You don't have a do-over.
Nope.
And you got to have reliable gear for this. You can't just go in with whatever. Yeah. Like I said, I was doing 250. I upped it, you know, now I'm upping it to 350, but I think I even go higher. Because the demands they're putting on this is insane, too. Every year, I see new demands on everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, the DJs are inexpensive, but we want them to do all this new stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, for sure.
Go down there. Summer down, kids. Yeah,
it used to be when we first started doing ceremony, we could do them back in the early days. The first one I did, I had an Iowa AWIA stereo system that I bought from a local shop. We sure. used that. It had a 3-disc changer, and this disc had their first walking in song, second had her song, and the third had their walking out song, and click click click, and that's what we did.
That's all they got.
And that's what they got, and that was all we were asked for. My wedding on Friday, we've got the songs, and there's certain parts of each song that we're playing for the as the guests are waiting there, because they only want to have basically the hooks from these songs to set the tone for what the message they want. Then they've got their walking in music for the wedding party. Then the bride wants her song to go. And then at a certain point, she wants the song to change when she and her dad are doing a thing as they're walking in. Then we have a song that will be played for the candle thing. I think they're doing sand or a version of that.
Right, they do sand.
And then that's going to be changing when they turn around and go for their flowers, because they want then the song to pick up at the refrain of a different song, which is more of a ballad that's more of a mom and dad thank you type of a song. All these little nuances. This wasn't the way it was.
How much time are you spending in prep alone?
I figure I'm going to have to, because of setting cue points and things, I'm going to probably have maybe a couple of hours beyond what I've already done, just to make sure, because as you said, I have one chance to do this. So I have to go through and get all the cue points set. Then I have to go and practice these things. You know, and basically visualizing, okay, so now everyone, this, and now I'm going to do this and do that, because this is set up at a golf course and these people are golfing up until, you know, the morning of, and that morning they're going to go out there and they're going to be practicing the thing. Well, when they're out practicing is the only time the venue will allow me to set up. So I can't even be there for the practice. So it's all going to basically be scripted out and doing that way. So it's going to be an interesting ceremony.
What do you charge for ceremonies, John? I know that you're premium on that.
Yeah, this particular one, being it's about a half mile away from the venue, I'm charging $750 for it.
Wow.
And right that's on. And that's going to be what we're going to do, because again, this is more elaborate. So my ceremonies range anywhere. I've done the $250 one, where basically I've had somewhere I haven't even needed music. I'm just bringing in microphones.
Here's the mic. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. A little PA, a speaker with a wireless microphone. Here's the mic. And then all the way up to somewhere we've had to wire, I've had to do live sound for a guitar and a guitar keyboard. Three soloists were singing. The officiant wanted had a lapel. Then the groom was wired, so he had sound. Then we did a shotgun microphone so we could pick up the bride with the shotgun mic and the groom if needed. So, there's just a lot of nuances, because some folks really want to make sure that ceremony, that people can share that moment. And then sometimes people really just don't care. They're like, oh, we don't need a microphone. It's like,
whatever.
Then why are your guests here? Right. They'll never hear you. We're outdoors. A little bit of a breeze there. All they're going to see is the officiant's lips, or the officiant's going to have to yell. So, okay.
They're getting bored in the room. They're talking about remix services.
Yeah, let's just jump to the music question. Somebody asked this past week, best place to buy older music, because we can find new music. We can go to Promo Only. We can go to Top Hits USA. Any of those, and we can get music for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
an MP3.
Filling in the back catalog of everything.
Yeah, where can we find that?
Well, you can go on your normal old download sites like Amazon or iTunes. I like Amazon. I'm not an iTunes guy. I prefer to go to Amazon, just on general principle, anything else. But if you need a lot of back catalog music, if you know what you need, you know what a really good way to do this is, and it's going to save you some money, and it might even give you a bit of an education in the process. Go to places like used bookstores, Goodwill, and things like that, and buy the CDs you need.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them. If you buy an entire CD on, say, Amazon, it might cost you $8 to $12, like just the download of the whole thing. You can get these things for 99 cents at Goodwill, or you can, or like the bookstores, maybe $2.99 for the entire CD. There's a lot of good stuff, popular stuff that you're going to find at these places. Buy them and bring them home and rip them.
Yeah.
$3.20. That would be a fantastic way and you're going to learn about music, and you're going to see things. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want, maybe I'll try it. You may be surprised. It's almost like the old school way of doing things. It's crate digging.
Yeah. And
your old music, it's a great way to get started. And if there was somebody out there that was, let's say, thinking they really want to get into this, maybe they're DJing at home right now, they're doing some house parties, and they're thinking, maybe in a few years I might want to start doing weddings. Now's the time to start building that catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eyes open for what's available out there. And before you know it, if you're into it, if this is really what you're into, you can save yourself tons of money and have some fun in the process by doing some of this old school crate digging, just going out and checking this stuff out at places like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to Goodwill, because I go to Goodwill looking for records, there are stacks of CDs in there, and they're 99 cents.
Yeah, and there's some good compilations that you and I grew up with. Those were the things we were using.
Absolutely. The compilation CDs are really good for a lot of this stuff. Some things, they're really hard to find on CD, but other things are not. And even building a catalog like that, it's kind of cool. You can, use what you have and make do with what you have. And that, to me, is fantastic DJing. Using what you have to create a cool result. Instead of maybe exactly what the last guy did, do your own thing with what you have. It makes you creative. It's good programming practice, too.
Oh, for sure.
We did it a lot back in the old days. We didn't have every song at our disposal. People would say, hey, dude, you got any Def Leppard? It's like, no, but do you dig AC/DC? Because I have some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today, it's not like that. It's like my song right now. But I don't know. I think that'd be a really cool way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Just following the chat room there a little bit.
They're talking about DJ tools, the whole Bernie Howard thing. There was a Platinum series that Promo Only put out in the U.S. There's the Essential series that came out a few years ago in Europe. That's solid. If you can get a hold of that, it's going to cost you, but it's going to be worth it. The Essential Series. It's a UK collection. I don't know if you can just buy it if you're in the UK now or if it was a limited thing. I have a copy of it. No, I'm not sharing it with anyone, but it's very solid. Mobile Beat had some. They got shut down.
Yeah, there's been quite a few. And a word of caution with that is that when you're searching eBay and you will find, you know, these DJ only sets that refer to the Platinum or the Essentials or the Knockout Hits that was Canadian, they'll refer to these things, DJ Tools. Most of these are burned discs.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you can buy that and you're getting these burned discs and you might get lucky and they're a good quality burn and you could rip them off.
Right.
But most often, you're probably not going to get that. So word of caution, I would buy CDs if I knew that, you know, could go to the DJ and see the collection and basically, and that's a great way because there's a lot of DJs who are getting out of it and they're like, I don't need this collection anymore.
Right.
And you can buy a CD collection for a buck a disc, most likely, maybe a buck and a half a disc if they're in good shape. And you could walk out. Yeah. It might cost you $1,500 to $2,000 to come out with a 1,000 CDs. But if you got a collection of old stuff like that, or, you know, classic hits and usable music, it's well worth your time to have that. Because eventually there might be music licensing and you have to show hard copies of those things. And if that ever happens, you'd be ahead of the game.
Do it right. Just do it right.
Yep. Let's see. Next question. How do I stop other people from dumping things behind my DJ setup? I think we've had this one before, a version of this.
I don't know if we have or not. I mean, that's pretty hard. I give myself enough room to move, and that's about it.
Keep things tight.
Any room, yeah, very tight. The problem that I have, and there's no graceful way around it that I found, are the photographers who insist on sticking their tripods with flash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Flash things, remote flashes all over the place. After I've scrimmed everything, tucked everything in nice and neat, then they just throw shit everywhere. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
That I don't even know how to get around that. I don't even know. What am I telling the photographer? Go away. No, you can't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how to get around this.
I found using some uplighting helps a little bit when we can have that behind the system. Up until the wedding that I did 2 weeks ago, the photographer comes, sets the bag down, knocks my uplight over, and I went over and just kind of put it back into place where it's supposed to be. Then a few minutes later, I look over and the uplight's not shining. Well, they threw a jacket over top of the uplight. You know, no.
Did you yell at them at that point?
No, I took the jacket over and put it over, laid it over their bag very nicely and you know, laid it nicely so everything looked good. And then 10 minutes later, a really drunk person with a beer was dancing over in that part of the corner and woo, and it went all over their jacket and their camera bag. I didn't feel bad about that. It's like karma's a bitch, baby.
Yeah. No, they need to find their corners. I mean, I suppose you can mention it in client meetings. Hey, look, my corner's my corner. If the photographer needs a corner, you designated it. It's not by me.
Yeah.
I suppose you could probably have that off at client meetings. There's so many things you're covering in client meetings. It's like the least of my worries when I'm there, but I suppose if you really wanted to, you could add that to your list of things, to your novel you're going to throw at your client anyway.
Yeah, it's not the first time I've been accused of being too nice. I'll give you that one. My wife tells me that sometimes. You're just being too nice about that.
Yeah, except at Expo, you wouldn't even hang.
I know, I was just a moody bitch.
John, let's hang! All right, go pound sand. I'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Exactly. These damn divas at Expo.
You were busy.
It was a busy.
I know.
Couple of days. We were having a good time there.
I just had to put that dig in there because I wanted to hang with you. I really wanted to hang with you.
And the one evening we had, you were on one side of the bar, and I was on the other side of the bar, and the two of us were not going to get together because there was a crowd around Ether. Like, oh, there's Brian over there.
He's over there somewhere.
Yeah, he's in the midst of that group. And
I always have time for you, John. I always have time for you.
That's why we get to chat on Tuesdays here. That works well. Let's see. Next question. Should I bring my own table or should I require one in my contract from the venue?
I bring your own for this reason, because you know that it's stable. I've talked to so many DJs who have used hall tables and they've put their things on there and the table's collapsed because the hall was using the junky table. The table that isn't good enough to use for clients to sit at or whatever. They're giving you the crap table with the broken legs. This was a big deal before they were all plastic, when they were all made out of like particle board, because the wood would splinter and break and the screws would come out and you'd end up with the junkiest table they had. So for that reason, I would use my own. Not only that, but if you have dressings for your table, sometimes you have a 6-foot table, sometimes you have an 8-foot table, sometimes it's 24 deep, sometimes it's 18 deep. If you go to the hall, if you buy dressing for a 6-foot table and you own a 6-foot table, if this fits on, bingo, you're cool. Having said that, if I walk into a hall and they already have a table set up for me and it's dressed, I will check it. If it's sturdy, I'll use the damn thing. This saves me time.
Oh, for sure.
But no, I don't require in contracts. I do have a 6-foot foldable collapsible table. So it folds in half to, like, you know, what is it? I guess 3 by 24. And it has a handle on it. I can carry it. It's pretty convenient. And if I don't need it, I just leave it in the truck. It's a standard 6-foot banquet.
Yeah.
And you can have those. You can buy them. I think Walmart has them now for like 35, 40 bucks.
Yeah, Walmart carries them. You can buy them on Amazon. Myself, I use a 4-foot by 2-foot that folds in half. But the thing is, it extends up to countertop height, because I like to have things up just a little bit taller, being a taller person. So, yeah, I've gotten to the point now where I don't want to have a venue table for many of the reasons that Brian has shared. And I've had venues where they're assuming that I'm going to ruin their table, or they're thinking that, and if there's a scratch on their table at the end of the night, they're going to blame me for it, even if it wasn't my fault. So when I have a venue coming up there and said, okay, the bride says you need a table, but if you scratch this table, it's your ass. And it's like, hey, you know, you can go put your table where the sun don't shine, sweetheart. I'm going to use mine. Or if I have to, I'm going to sit on the floor like a first grader and I'm going to play my music right there, because I ain't going to use
your belly and play it.
I'm not going to use your table. Your table is just not going to happen. So,
yeah. You know, the other thing, when going back to the whole microsystem concept, I've thought about using something other than a banquet table, which would probably be wise to incorporate something into what I do with something else.
Yep.
The problem I run into is, as a disabled person, if I come to a venue, I would say probably about 50% of the time, there's already a table sitting there waiting for me. They assume the DJ needed a table. Mm-hmm. If I walk into a situation where they've done this, sometimes the burden's on me to take that table down and get rid of it.
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If I incorporate the table into my setup already, it's something I don't have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense to you.
No, it does. It does. I've had that in situations also. I actually at a wedding we did, early July, we had a wedding and they had a beautiful table fully skirted and it would have been a pain in the butt to take it down.
Right.
Well, it worked as a great spot to put props when we were doing our activities. And then it became the spot sitting in front for people to put drinks on. So the drinks didn't go anywhere near any of our gear.
Right.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you've got the room for that.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
But yeah, it's on the table thing always is it's always an issue. I mean, one way or the other, it's an issue, whether it be it's not there or it's there or it's wobbly or whatever. So I just incorporate the whole banquet table into the design of the setup. And that was my way of thinking. I could make it quicker with a smaller table or a fast set, but why when there's already a banquet there half the time?
Yeah,
so.
That's for sure. Oh, well. Our next question. Is it best to have your music on an external hard drive, or do you want to have all of your music on the internal hard drive of your computer?
Internal. It's just a personal preference. I like it internal. I like to just know it's there. Like, it's on my computer. It's all there. I don't forget a hard drive. I don't have a bad cable. I've freed up USB ports for other things. It's a cool thing. I like to have it internal. So my computers, they're huge. They're Asus Republica Gamers. I have 3 of them. And they have 2 hard drive bays. So I've got a main hard drive and one of them, I'm going to make them all this way. One of them solid state, the boot drive solid state. It's got my DJ programs on it. It's got my OS on it. Boots quick. And then the other internal, they've got 2 terabyte internals now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just put all my music on there. They might even have 3. I don't look. Last I checked, they had 2. I got 2 terabyte internals on all 3 of my laptops. Well, no, 2 of them. One of them, I got a 1 terabyte. It's a backup. But yeah, I like to do internal. But that's a personal preference. You're a lot better off doing external because you can swap between computers.
Well, and that's I agree with you with having music internal, but I've got two external hard drives with me at all times that are basically my full music and video collection.
Right.
If something happens, heaven forbid, that both my laptops crap out. If you know, Susie Bridesmaid has her laptop in the other room, I could plug one of those hard drives in and I could use iTunes or something to function if I have, but that means that laptop one my Retina has to go down. My MacBook Air has to go down. My iPad has to go down and my iPhone has to go down, which all of those have full music. And the other two have got the list of everything I played since 2001 that has been played through my system. So I have pretty much three or four libraries, but sometimes dumb things can happen. So.
Understood. And it's better to be prepared than not.
Okay. The next question, is EDM music really a draw for a DJ convention? They were talking about DJ Expo and that the DJs were all EDM type DJs.
Are you talking about the DJs in the trade show booths?
They mentioned they were at the show and it seemed like all the DJs there were like EDM jocks. And is EDM really a draw? Excuse me, speakers. I think they're some of the remix guys that were speaking. Yeah.
I had a conversation with a speaker manufacturer about that. They build beautiful speakers and they had a lot of potential going on, but they had this DJ in their booth that was playing deep house, some EDM, and really into it and really wanted to crank their mix. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, I don't know this DJ and I'm not trying to talk bad about this DJ because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that if I had some fine quality speakers, like really good stuff, I would want an audio chain that was so solid to demo these speakers that they just sounded real. I would not want to rely on Joe Scratch DJ's library and who knows where he got it from and who knows what tracks he's playing. I want to select my tracks. I want to select, the processing gear, the sound card, the cabling, everything. I mean, because that's what I'm doing. I'm selling speakers and I'm selling sound quality. When it's all just blaring EDM, I completely agree with you. It's ridiculous. And everyone was doing it. Mm-hmm. And it was foolhardy, I believe. Very foolhardy. I don't think it's, I think it's the perception of either the retailer or the manufacturer that this is the way to go, but I don't believe it is. I'm with you. I think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a draw at all for something like a DJ convention. It's a bad
move. When you and I are walking around hearing these sound systems and they're demoing them for people, how many times when you are out performing with your sound system, do you play basically balls to the walls wide open with your sound system?
You know, well, at 0 dB, maybe peak of the night, but like, geez, if you want to improve, somebody wanted to sell me speakers, play me some smooth jazz. I want to hear strings. I want to hear vocals. I want to hear horns and how smooth they are.
And I want to hear them about maybe 105 dB max, because that's generally where you and I are playing when we're making our money at weddings.
I don't want to hear Grandmaster Flash's, routine on Take Me to the Mardi Gras or Apache. I don't want to hear an Apache routine through speakers. Those are old recordings. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the newest remix by Moto Blanco. I want to hear something smooth and I want to hear it at a volume that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Because that's important to me as a wedding DJ or as a DJ period.
For sure. Because that's where most of our guests, and as much as I love some of the companies that were there, it's like, do they not understand as some of the club jocks that just go and perform in clubs, how many speakers are they buying?
They're not buying speakers anyway.
So then we go to the guys who are buying speakers are the guys like, you know, the Mike Walter who are buying multiples, you know, they're changing. You and I are buying speakers, not as many as some of the multis, but we're doing weddings. We may be doing some teen dances, and we're going to need to have that ability to push, but most likely we're going to want to have a speaker that sounds good playing dinner music, because that's when people are listening and say, wow, that sounds really good. Because once they get into the dance, they're drunk.
I went to one of those rooftop parties too, and a speaker company was sponsoring it, and they had a big stack, you know. It was painful. It didn't sound good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, you're wasting your money even sponsoring this.
Yes.
Even if all you did was bring your speaker rig, you still wasted time and energy.
Yeah.
Because this does not sound good. No one's going to hear this and say, I got to have that.
Right.
You know, but in all fairness, John, you and I do a little bit of marketing, but whoever asked that question in the chat room, fair play to you. You recognize that this is foolhardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, let's see. Someone asked on Facebook and Facebook Live. I apologize. I didn't get to it earlier. I can't bounce back and forth. They're asking about your experience with multicultural weddings. And if you had any tips for someone who's doing a multicultural wedding. I've had a little bit of experience and I can share that, but Brian, you probably have had more. So let's jump into that with your experience with multicultural weddings.
Well, there are several different avenues we can go on this one. I mean, are we talking about Latino, English American weddings, or are we talking about what? I mean,
let me share what my experiences were. I did a multicultural wedding where basically we had a central Minnesota Caucasian crowd, and she was marrying a gentleman who was a direct immigrant from Mexico, and he was up working. So our event had basically half of the crowd that would know polka, waltzes, and what have you, and half of the crowd did not speak a lick of English.
Right.
In my particular case. So they gave me probably about 10 different CDs at that time that were of different Latin, Latino music that they really enjoyed. And track 6, track 7, these types of things. And it became a night for me, mixing-wise with music, is playing a little bit of pop music, because even some of the Latino guests were into the pop music. Mm-hmm. And then it was to mix in some of the Latin music that I didn't know, but it was basically doing beat mixing, because everything's got a beat that you play. The announcements were the interesting part, because they wanted to have the wedding party introduced. They wanted to have the introductions of the parents and do different things. So they had an interpreter with me.
Oh, right on.
So I would make an announcement. We're going to be doing an introduction for Jose and Sarah in just a few minutes. You know, the person would go in and do the interpretation of it. Then I would do the next slide. Exactly. And it was actually kind of fun, because when we got into doing the introduction, there were, I think, only two couples that stood up with them. So we only had six people to introduce. And they gave me the pronunciation and what I was to say in English. And I said it in my kind of upbeat voice. And it's a da-da-da-da-da! And then it's a pause. And the gentleman who was doing the interpretation for me would match my enthusiasm, and he did match my inflection. It was very, very cool. And it was one of those times where I wish I would have had a recording, because to hear how he did this and have it was neat. So that was really my experience as a two really distinct. I've done some other. I've done an Indian wedding where we had a crowd that a high percentage was from an Indian descent. So the big thing with that was the spicy food. Oh my gosh, that was great.
Well, I have. I mean, I just did. If that's multicultural, I did one of those Saturdays. Yeah, I mean, well, not exactly, but a bit. It's the Latino, white American cracker thing. It's actually Blanca's niece got married, and I did that. And it's kind of old hat to me. I guess I'm kind of a part Latino now. I mean, we've been together for a long time, and I'm very familiar with the culture, very familiar with the food, the music, how things go down. And I'm known as Tio Brian, which is Uncle Brian. So it's a little different than just kind of walking into it blind. But one thing I will say about, as far as multicultural, that's a very broad, vague description, to riff on. But if we're talking about Latino, crowds with white people crowds or just American crowds, whatever color they are.
Yeah, let's identify them as a white crowd because.
Well, it doesn't matter.
If we're a Midwest white crowd, there are certain things that we would do with that type of crowd that we probably wouldn't do with more of a blended crowd.
I try to not generalize with that. And the reason I do, I'll just tell you a quick story. A friend of mine makes amazing tamales. Okay. Amazing. All right. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
Mara Luna makes amazing tamales.
He does.
Okay. Where do you think Mara Luna's from?
Shoot. I think I knew this one. Did I know this one?
I'll just tell you. He's from Dearborn, Michigan. All right.
But where his mom, his pardon? Where's his mother from?
I don't know, but he's from Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I've met his mother, and his mother might as well just be like my mom. Where do you think he learned how to make his tamales?
Well, she taught him from what he had said.
Nope. He learned how to make his tamales on YouTube because she doesn't know how to make tamales.
Uh-huh.
So I don't generalize it. Okay.
I did not know that part. I just assumed because it was always.
I did too.
Marl's mom's making tamales.
They're wonderful, Marl. Did your mother teach us? No, man. I learned on YouTube.
You know, the magic is gone. The magic is all gone now.
Dude, I'm just telling you, you cannot generalize with this stuff because you never know.
Oh, wow.
Mara was born in Dearborn, Michigan, and he learned how to make tamales off of YouTube. That is a true story. And I know Mara's mother. I know his mother. She doesn't make tamales.
She makes fabulous jewelry, by the way.
She's a jeweler. Yeah. She's not, you wouldn't look at her and say, no. But anyhow, I regress. We'll just say American weddings versus Latinos or with Latinos mixed or whatever. One thing I will say about the Latinos is what's interesting about them as a whole, and this goes across the board, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, El Salvadorians, whatever. Latinos are into the dance. Like if you're playing for like a culturally black American crowd, they want to hear hip hop. They want to hear old school stuff, but it's very specific songs they want to hear.
Yep.
If you're playing for a Latino crowd, they don't care. If the beat's right, it's okay. They may have never heard the song before and they'll fill the floor with it.
Yep.
Because they want to hear a cumbia or they want to hear a bachata or they want to hear a salsa or merengue or whatever the case might be. It doesn't matter what song you play, just so the beat's right. So I learned to DJ at Latin clubs by ear. I can't read Spanish. I don't know, but I'd mark the songs that I like that I thought had a good beat, because I used to dance the stuff, and those are the ones I'd play. And half the time, nobody out there even had heard of these songs. They weren't popular songs,
mm-hmm. But
they had a good beat, and people responded well to them.
Yeah.
So that's unique. I just had a conversation with somebody about this from central Wisconsin, who's freaking out because it's a American/Mexican wedding. Oh my God, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
They want cumbias, then you just play some damn cumbias. Well, what about language? Don't worry about it. English is really the only language you got to worry about with inappropriate language. Anywhere else in the world, they're not thinking about inappropriate language, unless it's like hardcore reggaeton. But if we're talking about salsa, merengue, bachata, you know, cumbia, whatever, so what? It doesn't matter. And, you know, in fact, my daughter's, I said she was in Greece right now.
Yeah.
She thought it was funny because she was at the Vienna airport for a layover, went into the gift shop, and they were playing that CeeLo Green song. We call it Forget You. They were playing the other version in the airport, just on the radio. And she thought that was hilarious. But that's how it is over there. They don't speak English. It doesn't mean anything to them.
Sure.
But there's not like a bad word thing like that in most música Latino. So, yeah, they just want to dance their songs. That is unique to the Latin thing. If they're into stuff like salsa, merengue, bachata, cumbia, whatever, and they'll tell you, hey, we want cumbia. If they start asking for things like banda, that's a little different. Then they may want something specific, or ranchero, or whatever. That's more like the Mexican thing. It's more like polka.
Hmm.
It's like slow polka, German-influenced Spanish music. But anyway, yeah, for as far as that goes, that's my experience. And don't assume anything. Talk to them.
Yeah.
make sure you know exactly what they want. Take requests, and I will give you this pro tip right here. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the Latino DJ tells you. I don't care. I don't care. Own Suavemente by Elvis Crespo and play it without shame, because all the Latino DJs will tell you, dude, play something else. That song is so played out. You couldn't think of anything else to play but Elvis Crespo Suavemente. Let me tell you why that song is beautiful to play for especially the multicultural weddings. The white people know that song. And that alone is pretty cool.
Yep.
If you can get the white people and the Latinos and the black dude and everybody out on the dance floor at the same time for the same song, for something that's kind of culturally unique to Latin culture, you won, man. That's what you want. that's like America, right? That's America, the melting pot. Boom, yep. You got it. That is amazing stuff to me. And like I say, a lot of Latino DJs will tell you, no, don't do that. Do it. Do what I say, do it. You will be a winner. And it doesn't matter. The Mexicans dance to Suavemente. It's a merengue. It's, I believe, Puerto Rican. I think I was supposed for Puerto Rico, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Winner.
Matt mentioned that song way up in the chat there. So, Matt, you're right on, man. Good stuff. All right. That's pretty much wraps up our questions that we had for tonight. So let's wrap up here in just a few minutes, but let's a few more thoughts from DJ Expo.
Okay.
One of the things that I came away with from this year's show is I've been watching Global Truss in that red, their red trussing, their red powder coated stuff, and
yeah,
gosh, I think I've figured out what I want to do, because some of you have been watching our videos and you're like, oh, Brian's got a kind of cool background and MJ's got a cool background and John's got this background, you know, and I use this for multiple blogs. I use this for others. So I need to have kind of a generic thing, but I actually got approval from the finance committee to do something in that. Laurie said it was okay. So now we need to figure out what we're going to do. And I've been looking at that red and that red and black together. I think I've got to figure out a way to make some kind of a cool, I want to make a table that will, for a controller to sit on, kind of like you made. You did that in a video. I want to use that red trussing to make that so I can put the big controller on there, because I've got some of the videos that we're doing for that insider is going through and talking about music and giving you, playing some of the songs for you guys.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to do that so I can have that set up. So I can basically do that video, turn around and do our DJ videos and not have to go and rip down and just reset up and move gear, because that's just such a horrible pain in the butt. And it keeps a lot of the stuff, why we don't do some videos sometimes, or we don't do as many as we'd like, because we're in limited space and we have to reset. So
sure. That
red powder coat with the black powder coat stuff, it's catching my eye, and I think I'm going to use that in my next.
Yeah. You know, the guys over at GTA have built some really cool concepts with monitors on them that kind of have arms that come out.
Yeah. And
we built one for Lee Mills. We built a spaceship for him out of F-34 full-size truss, which I think would be cool for you in the studio, full-size.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your custom tabletop on there, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Could be wood, could be thick plexi, whatever you want to do. It sounds like a permanent thing. So, yeah, have fun with that. That's all powder coat. They can totally do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were saying there as I was talking to them.
Yeah, so, Robert can hook that up.
Yeah, yep. He's the guy. He is the guy. And he's like, just
Robert. Robert is mi hermano. And his wife Lily is wonderful.
Mm.
His wife Lily works at ADJ.
Oh, I don't. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe I've seen her, but I haven't
done. Yeah, you are. Yeah, she works at ADJ and then he works global.
Yeah.
So sister companies and husband and wife working in different branches of it, but they ride share to work and stuff. So she's in the office.
Nice.
Good girl. I love me some Lily.
Cool. Illuminator lighting.
Yeah.
They brought the mirror ball back.
You know, the mirror ball came back all on its own.
I mean, and yeah, there's some really like that, but
yeah,
they had this really cool mirror ball attachment for the top of your tree or your speaker stand or light stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the one light fixture and or lighting piece that I probably heard the most about, short of going to the ADJ event where everyone was talking about the Focus.
Series. Right.
Otherwise, it was like, did you see that? That was the mirror ball. Oh, I'm
right.
Oh, it made me chuckle, but it was a cool, it's a neat design and such.
Yeah, there's the mirror ball thing is, and you know, I'm slacking on this. I wanted to get a couple different sizes of mirror balls in here and do some lighting demos on what you could do with them, mm-hmm. with some of the LED stuff we have, even the lasers or the lights where you can, you know, get that beam down kind of small or,
yeah.
you know, just to focus on the beam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool effect. People still love the damn mirror ball.
Yeah.
It's become a novelty again.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
a bit of a pain to lug around. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. And they lose mirrors. They bounce off as they're transporting. But
what if we did our own creation? What if we made like an inflatable mirror ball? You deflate it. I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Fold it in half, something. There's got to be a cool thing you can do with a mirror.
I like that. You know, Mikey Mike has done some videos with the mirror ball things, and he's some really, really cool things with that. That's probably something that he's got somewhere. He's got prototypes for an inflatable mirror ball.
Mikey, if anybody does, Mikey does.
He would be the man. So what other things stood out with you at the show?
I'm sorry. Somebody was just screaming something in the chat room. It was distracting. Okay. Anyway, what was that?
Other things that stood out at the show for you?
Geez. Like product-wise?
Product-wise, conversation-wise.
Oh, just in general.
Yeah, just in general.
I was inspired by, of all things, the Pioneer booth with like a Record Box incorporating video. I got excited about that. I don't know why, but I did. That, to me, was just cool. I think that's going to be a real solid platform for anybody who wants to DJ with video. I liked the little production machine they had, the little drum machine / pad. I forget what it was even called, but I liked it. I thought it was neat hardware, and maybe they're showing my age,
mm-hmm.
but it was cool. I'm just thinking there are a lot of cool applications for something like that. Instead of a software piece, it's a hardware piece. There's something to be said for that, I think. Software, just, it's so cold.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something that I can physically touch and look at, and I'm about that. And maybe that's just something, says something about my age, but I really thought that was an interesting piece.
Mm-hmm.
I got excited about that. Pioneer also has a new turntable coming out. Seems pretty solid. Direct drive's got some weight to it. Is it the PLX 500, I think?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I have some video on it I'm going to post, but I think the price point's like 250 or something.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy high.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's really good. Just kind of I loved those, and I did a video on them, and now I'm brain farting on it. I have to look and see what they're called. Those cool little hexagon panels.
Oh yeah, had.
The heck are they called?
I don't remember. You know what?
They are called 3D Visions.
I was in the booth, you know, talking to Jose and Marco. I was talking to the guys. How I didn't notice those until we get over to
Cuba Libre.
We were over there at the Cuba Libre, and then it's like, oh my gosh, these are. And Jose's like, yeah, we have them at the booth. But I don't know if they. I just overlook because I'm up there. Like, ooh, look at that. You know,
they were showstoppers for me. That was the coolest thing in the booth. And I'm sorry, but it was.
Yeah. I mean, and then when I came back and looked and paid attention to them being lower, but I think it's just that they were down here and everything else was up there. And that's why I didn't see it. But they
3D vision.
They were very, very cool.
Yeah. Neat.
Very nice.
I don't know. I can see a DJ using those for a facade. I can see. Just like how they used them in Cuba Libre. They had them on the trusses. That was a cool look.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things you could do with that.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
I liked it a lot.
Very much so. It's an effect, but it isn't. One of my pet peeves now with lighting, especially for weddings, is when you have beams in people's eyes and it's blinding people. Perfect. It's giving you action. It's giving you motion. It's giving you color. And it's not in people's eyes.
Exactly. No, that was my favorite light at the show.
Yeah. Yeah, those were definitely cool.
I mean, you're going to have to buy them in multiples. And once you do that, it's not a cheap date, but I think it really brings it. It's a lot of punch.
Yeah.
And it's a lot cheaper than doing like a video wall or something. And you can do cool things with it, with DMX. And I've got video of that on my channel if you're interested in seeing it. I've got the facade they had. They had a program real cool where it was doing like color sweeps and things. It was beautiful. Real cool look. And I really, really, really enjoyed watching that. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, they cool. were definitely, definitely cool things.
I don't know. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just hard for me to process it all. I and I mentioned it in I think the last show, that little XLR cable tester that Jim from Colorado Satellite is developing. We're going to see it soon. He's building them now. That was super cool. Jim always has cool stuff.
That's yeah,
cool creative.
I'm talking to Jim tomorrow because I've got to order a projector mount. I've used.
You have a wonderful projector mount.
Oh yeah, and I've used with my projectors. I've just used the stand, and it's been fine when I'm doing rear projection. But I'm finding out when I'm doing front projection, and people can get too close to it. My comfort level is changing, and it just so happens I'm into four or five venues in which I'm front projection, and the projectors are. So I'm going to put it on one of these heavy crank up stands, and I'm going to use that mount. So basically, the only way that thing's going to tip over is if somebody plow. I mean, they would have to plow into it. You can kick
that
stand.
They run their Honda into it or something.
Yeah, it's going to take that level of hit. So
sure,
I'm going to just go that route and make it make that my front projection.
I used somebody else's mount. A friend of mine ordered it. I don't remember from who. And looking at Jim's mount, oh my gosh, what an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
What an improvement. Anything Jim builds is cool, though. I mean, anything the man builds is cool. And I'm not saying that just because I think he's a cool guy. I do think he's a cool guy, but the guy's got fantastic ideas for us.
Yeah.
He's a DJ himself, and he does schools. He still does proms and big events.
Productions, yeah.
Yeah, so he's one of us, and he just is smart and has great ideas about this stuff. So... yeah, that I really did like. And you're going to love that. And you can get that in the 3.5 millimeter pole size, and you can go ahead and step it up to the 1.5, which is what you're probably going to need for the crank stand, the 1.5 millimeter. So you need a little bit bigger clamp, and he's got both.
Yeah, he's got them both there. It goes
it's
back
easy
and
to
forth.
Swap out from one of the other two if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get in separate projector mounts to do that. It's just one little piece on the clamp that you got to swap. That's it.
Yeah, he was showing me that, and it's like, oh, that's easy to do. Gang, we're going to put the call out for our songs tonight. We're going to be going from a song to a song. And we want our first song in the set and maybe the last song.
I'll pick the first song and let them pick where we go. It's easier that way.
Okay. We'll pick the first one.
John.
You know, there was a big thing about Sonny and Cher, and I was thinking about using Cher's song "Believe."
Okay.
We're playing "Believe" right now,
and we're getting a good reaction from.
And
"Believe."
We're getting a great reaction. And
who is it? Is it like 55-year-old women?
We are getting a great reaction from our 45-year-olds and up, because they were really into that, and we've got a nice crowd at a wedding. We're playing "Believe," and we've got the 45 and up crowd because they know the song. They were into that. Obviously, more women than men, but the guys are horny, and that's why they're out there too. So there's our setup song. Where are we going to go from that? Give us where you want us to end up, and we will work between the two.
Somebody said, "Don't stop till you get enough into old time rock and roll." You can almost back to back those. They're both cheesy wedding songs, but I think "Believe" is a little more, you know, it's played, but it's a little more out there than your standard fare.
Yeah.
And the crowd I'm playing for, the crowd I've got out there right now.
And they're you've got a high tempo, kind of a power, power dance song going.
To watch me, Gibson Brothers, Cuba. You could almost do Gibson Brothers Cuba back to back with Cher's "Believe." I mean, if you know that track, it's hot. It's an old disco track.
Mm.
But that's all stuff that you were like hearing in gay clubs. That would be easy to put into a set with that. I mean, the bridge would just be a time thing. Maybe you would go back into the 80s and get an energy track, and then you'd bridge the two, and it would be pretty easy. Yeah, wash me. I mean, that doesn't even sound like the same kind of fun.
I think Ian was taking us from Don't Stop to Old Time Rock and Roll into Watch Me, probably making a progression. I think that's what I'm thinking. And then he's bringing in.
They got some weird suggestions tonight. I mean, because I'm envisioning your crowd. I'm envisioning 45-year-old people. And why the hell would they want to hear Watch Me? Mm-hmm. Why would they even want to hear that?
Yeah, that would be.
Maybe they, I don't know.
Maybe. If we needed to change the dance floor.
If someone there wants to hear Watch Me, though, I'm just thinking logically here. It's not going to be the people who are dancing right now.
There we go. We need to change the floor.
It's okay if I clear the floor and just throw Watch Me on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a bunch of little kids out there and their moms who are all 27 years old and so proud of their kid because they can do this. And they take pictures and put them on Instagram and share them to their friends.
Nomo 99, that's exactly where I was thinking about it, into a Ricky Martin tune. When I was putting some thoughts together with this, it's like, yeah, we could come out of that with into a Ricky Martin type tune where you're changing it up into that and moving, rolling on through. Good times.
That'd be good times by Chic. That's down. It's
tempo cool, down.
It's not down tempo, but it's, yeah, I believe it's like a energy song.
Yeah.
Suavemente has got a lot of energy too. And you could probably just back-to-back into those. Anything Ricky Martin. Billie Jean is about the same tempo as Good Times.
We'd almost need a segue song.
These are easy.
Yeah, we'd want to, because we're coming out of that Believe. It's got
old-time rock and roll is like the one that's the weirdest. And that would be the one where you might want to do something between the songs. So, geez, how would you bridge it? Like, I'm playing Cher's Believe. That's the crowd I have out there right now. And then they're asking for old time rock and roll, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to get into that oldie set. How do I do it? And then I start thinking about classics that I could play in between.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
I'm trying to go somewhere between energy and rock, but I want to go back a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I could, you know what you could totally play. You know what I might do in that case? I want to keep the energy level up. I wanted to identify with that 45 and up crowd. And I wanted to go back, make it fast, but rock. You know what tune I would play to bridge those songs? Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
Oh yeah. That would come out of that.
Great one to play.
That would be a perfect fit. Yeah. Cause you're coming out, you've got that tempo's up.
Yes. The tempo's up and it's rock. It's more rock.
And then when it ends with the, you know, everybody ready, and boom. And then
that's my bridge song.
Good choice.
What do you think?
Good, very good choice. What do you guys think on that one? I mean that was you know, the old guy coming up with something here on the cuff.
Yeah. It's just, that's the logic I would use on that though. I want to keep the tempo similar. I want to keep the energy level up, but I need to go back a few years and I need to bridge energy with rock. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing I could come up with.
Yeah, energy rock. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. that was a good suggestion.
No, it would work.
It was really, really good.
A thousand things would work. I was just trying to, like I said, trying to envision the crowd.
And there's the thing is we're envisioning the crowd and matching energy going to rock, you know, and kind of classifying things.
So. Mm-hmm. To make that transition as smooth as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it totally worked here. Because Footloose is a cold ending. You can do anything after that you want to.
Let's go crazy. Could a person mix into that once it picks up?
What? Believe. Let's go crazy is the song that you play in the same set that you're playing What I Like About You by the Romantics, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like rock, or Clash, or a hardcore Queen song. Not a hardcore Queen song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not Another One Bites the Dust. I'm talking about like a crazy little thing called Love, more of a rockabilly kind of hard, more of a rocker by Queen. So I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Prince, but that's an odd duck. You can do it. You can, It goes in a rock set, I believe. It doesn't go in an R&B set.
Yeah.
I've done it in R&B sets, but it works better in rock sets.
Oh, funny. Brent, you're being funny, man. Gang, we need to wrap things up. We have been on for over an hour with our second half hour show.
Even on John, he won't shut up.
Oh, man. We just can't. We got so much to say.
Couldn't get the guy to hang with me.
Yeah, so we had to spend our time
at Expo, but he won't shut up when I get him online. What the hell's on that?
Yeah, something wrong with that, man.
All right, dude.
All right, so you guys, if you've got questions, please send those over, message those, put those in the comments area. Those will get to me. We'll be back again next Tuesday talking stuff, and then we'll be talking questions.
New microphone, let me know what you thought of it.
Yeah.
Good, bad, whatever. I didn't do anything with it, but plug it in and say hi, so I didn't change anything. Is it a good mic? Do we continue with this one? Do we do something else?
Yeah, exactly. No. Love your feedback on things. If you guys are seeing things or you want us to go, you know, there's something you want us to talk about, please share that. Ian, thank you for the thumb, you know, reminding to do the thumbs up, because that engagement helps on our YouTube ranking. And
it if you're a hater, people. Do the thumbs down. It still helps.
Exactly. It really does. So, you know,
if
hey,
you really hate me, don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, if you really hate us, you wouldn't be here. So if you just mildly hate us,
love to hate us.
Yeah. If you love
to hate us, thumbs down on it. And it doesn't matter. That's the funny part. They think they did us a disjustice, but they didn't. They actually did us a justice.
Oh, that's we showed them.
Hater.
Hater. Oh, everyone, have yourself a wonderful week. We will see you again next Tuesday night. I'm John Young. This is Brian Radd. Good night, everyone.